Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Like Water for Chocolate by Laura Esquivel. January. When you prepare Christmas rolls, take care to chop the onion fine. To keep from crying when you chop it, which is so annoying, I suggest you place a little bit on your head. The trouble with crying over an onion is that once the chopping gets you started and the tears begin to well up, the next thing you know, you just can't stop. I don't know whether that's ever happened to you, but I have to confess it's happened to me many times. Mama used to say it was because I was especially sensitive to onions, like my great aunt Tita. Tita was so sensitive to onions, any time they were being chopped, they say she would just cry and cry. When she was still in my great-grandmother's belly, her sobs were so loud that even Nacha, the cook, who was half-deaf, could hear them easily. Once her wailing got so violent that it brought on an early labor. And before my great-grandmother could let out a word or even a whimper, Tita made her entrance into this world, prematurely, right there on the kitchen table, amid the smells of simmering noodle soup, thyme, bay leaves and cilantro, steamed milk, garlic, and of course onion. Tita had no need for the usual slap on the bottom, because she was already crying as she emerged. Maybe that was because she knew then that it would be her lot in life to be denied marriage. The way Nacha told it, Tita was literally washed into this world on a great tide of tears that spilled over the edge of the table and flooded across the kitchen floor. From that day on, Tita's domain was the kitchen, where, after her father died of a heart attack and Mama Elena's milk dried up from the shock, she grew vigorous and healthy on a diet of teas and thin corn gruels. This explains the sixth sense Tita developed about everything concerning food. Her eating habits, for example, were attuned to the kitchen routine. In the morning, when she could smell that the beans were ready, at midday, when she sensed the water was ready for plucking the chickens, and in the afternoon, when the dinner bread was baking, Tita knew it was time for her to be fed. Her sisters were just the opposite. To them, Tita's world seemed full of unknown dangers, and they were terrified of it. They felt that playing in the kitchen was foolish and dangerous. But an exception had to be made for preparing sausage for Christmas rolls. The sausage for the rolls must be fried over very low heat so that it cooks thoroughly without getting too brown. When done, remove from the heat and add sardines, which have been deboned ahead of time. Any black spots on the skin should also have been scraped off with a knife. Combine onions, chopped chiles, and ground oregano with the sardines. Let the mixture stand before filling the rolls. Tita enjoyed this step enormously. While the filling was resting, it was very pleasant to savor its aroma, for smells have the power to evoke the past, bringing back sounds and even other smells that have no match in the present. Tita liked to take a deep breath and let the characteristic smoke and smell transport her through the recesses of her memory. It was useless to try to recall the first time she had smelled one of those rolls. She couldn't, possibly because it had been before she was born. It might have been the unusual combination of sardines and sausages that had called to her and made her decide to trade the peace of ethereal existence in Mamelena's belly for life as her daughter, in order to enter the De La Garza family and share their delicious meals and wonderful sausage. On Mamelena's ranch, sausage making was a real ritual. The day before, they started peeling garlic, cleaning chiles, and grinding spices. All the women in the family had to participate. Mama Elena, her daughters Gertrudis, Rosaura, and Tita, Nacha, the cook, and Chencha, the maid. They gathered around the dining room table in the afternoon, and between the talking and the joking, the time flew by until it started to get dark. Then Mama Elena would say, "That's it for today." But one afternoon, before Mama Elena told them they could leave the table, Tita, who was then 15, announced in a trembling voice that Pedro Musquiz would like to come and speak with her. After an endless silence during which Tita's soul shrank, Mamma Elena asked. And why should this gentleman want to come talk to me?
Tita's answer could barely be heard.
I don't know.
Mamma Elena threw her a look that seemed to Tita to contain all the years of repression that had flowed over the family and said,
If he intends to ask for your hand, tell him not to bother. He'll be wasting his time and mine too. You know perfectly well that being the youngest daughter means you have to take care of me until the day I die.
With that, Mamma Elena got slowly to her feet, put her glasses in her apron, and said in a tone of final command,
That's it for today.
Tita knew that discussion was not one of the forms of communication permitted in Mamma Elena's household, but even so, for the first time in her life, she intended to protest her mother's ruling.
But in my opinion, you don't have an opinion, and that's all I want to hear about it. For generations, not a single person in my family has ever questioned this tradition, and no daughter of mine is going to be the one to start.
Tita lowered her head, and the realization of her fate struck her as forcibly as her tears struck the table. From then on, they knew, she and the table, that they could never have even the slightest voice in the unknown forces that fated Tita to bow before her mother's absurd decision, and the table to continue to receive the bitter tears that she had first shed on the day of her birth. Still, Tita did not submit. Doubts and anxieties sprang to her mind. For one thing, she wanted to know who started this family tradition. It would be nice if she could let that genius know about one little flaw in this perfect plan for taking care of women in their old age. If Tita couldn't marry and have children, who would take care of her when she got old? Was there a solution in a case like that? Or are daughters who stay home and take care of their mothers not expected to survive too long after the parents' death? And what about women who marry and can't have children? Who will take care of them? And besides, she'd like to know what kind of studies had established that the youngest daughter, and not the eldest, is best suited to care for their mother. Had the opinion of the daughter affected by the plan ever been taken into account? If she couldn't marry, was she at least allowed to experience love? Or not even that? Tita knew perfectly well that all these questions would have to be buried forever in the archive of questions that have no answers. In the De La Garza family, one obeyed immediately. Ignoring Tita completely, a very angry Mamma Elena left the kitchen, and for the next week she didn't speak a single word to her. What passed for communication between them resumed when Mamma Elena, who was inspecting the clothes each of the women had been sewing, discovered that Tita's creation, which was the most perfect, had not been basted before it was sewed.
Congratulations, she said. Your stitches are perfect. But you didn't baste it, did you?
No, answered Tita, astonished that the sentence of silence had been revoked.
Then go and rip it out. Baste it and sew it again, and then come and show it to me. And remember that the lazy man and the stingy man end up walking their road twice.
But that's if a person makes a mistake, and you yourself said a moment ago that my sewing was...
Are you starting up with your rebelliousness again? It's enough that you have the audacity to break the rules in your sewing.
I'm sorry, Mommy. I won't ever do it again.
With that, Tita succeeded in calming Mamma Elena's anger. For once, she had been very careful. She had called her Mommy in the correct tone of voice. Mamma Elena felt that the word Mama had a disrespectful sound to it. And so, from the time they were little, she had ordered her daughters to use the word Mami when speaking to her. The only one who resisted, the only one who said the word without the proper deference, was Tita, which had earned her plenty of slaps. But how perfectly she had said it this time. Mamma Elena took comfort in the hope that she had finally...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?